Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to Noon.
John Coon and Touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Coon for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Coon run for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the 6-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback. John Coon. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to Noon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two of 9 to Noon starts now and starts with my good friend and voice of your Green Bay Packers on the Green Bay Packers Radio Network, Wayne Larrivee. Wayno, how you doing today? Thanks for joining us for a little bit.
Good, Johnny. I'm doing fine. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all the listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Wayne. By the way, when we talk about Thanksgiving, you and I are working on Thanksgiving. Hardest working men in radio, you and I. Rocky, he takes a little bit easy. But we'll say this. Well, I want to know, when you come home, is dinner ready when you get home, or do you celebrate on Friday?
We celebrate on Friday game day like that. Yeah, we do. And we don't host it here. We go to my son's house, and it's great. That's kind of been the tradition for the last, got to be going on close to 20 years.
Well, it's because you've called so many Thanksgiving Day games, and the Packers have had a couple home Thanksgiving Day games and had a lot of games in Detroit on Thanksgiving as well. Have you ever done a Packers at Cowboys Thanksgiving Day game?
No, I don't recall that we have in 27 years. I know that Reggie and Brett Favre and those guys played against the Cowboys on a Thanksgiving night because I was on a basketball trip in Salt Lake City, and we were watching it late afternoon Thanksgiving, and that was back in the mid-90s when the Packers were trying to get through the Cowboys to win their championship. And, you know, but beyond that, you know, John, I'll remember the first time I ever did the Thanksgiving game. I was with Kansas City with the Chiefs, and we went up there to Detroit to play. Might have been 1981, something like that. And, you know, it's a really unique game to work. Since then, I've worked, you know, obviously several games with the Bears and a lot of games, a number of games with Westwood One in addition to the Packers now. So it never gets old. It's a really unique situation because you're up in the morning. And it used to start earlier, but now it's starting at 1 o'clock Eastern time. But it's still just here you are working an NFL game on a Thursday morning in the middle of the week. It's just so unusual. It's great.
Wayne, I had started this week talking about what this game means and how it feels to roll into Detroit. Detroit 86. This is their 86th Thanksgiving Day game, and what it always meant to play in that Thanksgiving Day game. The Thanksgiving night games that we've had at Lambeau, they've been a little different. Even though it's on a Thursday, it kind of feels like just a normal Thursday night game. But the Thanksgiving right. Day game in Detroit, you mentioned it used to start a little bit earlier, even at 12:30 Eastern time. Now it's at 1, but it still feels different to walk into there, and very difficult. You always felt like even when the Lions were bad, that they would have great turnouts, great energy in the building, and a lot of fun and physicality in the football games watching it. How did it feel like for you? Did you always feel like the Lions give their best shot on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, but Detroit overall, I mean, there's a great misconception dating back to the 60s that the Lions are unbeatable on Thanksgiving Day. In fact, their win last year snapped a 7-game losing streak. They're only 38-45-2 on Thanksgiving Day playing at home. But that covers a lot of bad Detroit Lion teams.
Yes.
And this is not a bad Detroit Lion team the Packers are facing.
Talking with Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Wayne, when we came into this year, there were some expectations that this would be an offensive-led team, that Jordan Love would be in the conversation for maybe MVP, Josh Jacobs would be the bell cow. What is the identity of this football team, Wayne? Because from a fan's perspective, it seems to change every single week. When you watch this team and you're calling those games, what is the one identity to this Green Bay Packers team?
Oh boy, I'm probably a bad judge of that, but I'll go this way and say, you know, number one, I can understand where the fans are coming from. And Green Bay fans are really pretty knowledgeable. They're on top of it. This team's evolving. It's still evolving. I don't know if they haven't reached the end of where they are and who they are, you know. But to me, I know it's going to be a good game when I see that defense get out there and shut down the opposing offense early in the ball game. And when I can see the speed of that lateral speed of that Green Bay second line of defense, and they're making tackles, they're not, you know, hey, a pass may be completed, but if Amon-Ra St. Brown doesn't get another 10 yards after contact, well, then you've done your job, that kind of thing. When I see the defense sharp, that to me says the Packers have a good chance of winning that game.
You mentioned defense there, Wayne, and I completely agree with you. We saw it was on display Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, only allowing 6 points. And in the third quarter, they had negative 10 net yards. So the defense has been absolutely fantastic. It's been fun to watch. I think Jeff Hafley will eventually be a future head coach in this league. If you take Micah Parsons, Wayne, out of the equation, what's the one player that has really stood out to you on that side of the ball?
Oh, boy. I got to say Evan Williams. That guy just...
Back-to-back interceptions, yeah.
Well, it's all about instinct with him. I mean, he shows up when there is a need, and he shows up in a very timely fashion. He's a clutch player. He's just a really good football player. And, you know, I'm sure there are others that have stood up, and people can point to analytics and say, this guy is key and that guy. Nah, you know, to me, just looking at the games and watching them play, Evan Williams in the deep secondary, and he comes from the deep secondary to make plays at the line of scrimmage. He, to me, outside of Micah Parsons, really has stood out in this defense.
Talk a little bit about Warren Brinson, Devontae Wyatt, the guys not named Micah Parsons, and how they looked this last game.
Devontae Wyatt, you know, it's funny. We've seen this happen before. Last year got off to a really good start, had a couple of sacks early, suffered an ankle injury, missed a number of weeks, came back, and it took him about 6 weeks to get back to where he was himself again. I kind of thought that's what was happening this year because he got injured, came back. Not as much a factor the first couple of 2-3 games back, and then really got back into the action Sunday at Lambeau Field and had a tremendous game on the interior. Couple of sacks, disrupted the running game of Minnesota, did everything. And he's one of those guys, John, that we talked about this summer, that if he can develop into a blue-chip player, boy, that's huge. He and Edgerrin Cooper. Now, Coop's not up at the line of scrimmage as much. He's not doing what he did last year. People are saying, well, he's kind of invisible. No, he's not. But he's not blitzing as much because they had Micah Parsons, by the way, to get to the quarterback. So, you know, I think those two kids, Wyatt and Cooper, are the two guys who can really elevate this defense if they become blue chip players. And I think they're on the way to doing that.
Yeah, Wayno, I agree with you. You kind of superimposed the Packers defense over top of the Vikings defense, and the Vikings need to blitz to get that pressure. They like to confuse, and they like to get free rushers home to the quarterback. That's what the Packers had to do last year. They had to manufacture the pass rush. Micah Parsons, not the case. You can do everything with that guy, even when he does get double-teamed. The first Packer to get 10 sacks in a season since Za'Darius Smith, I believe, in 2021. But I'm going to say one name here, Wayno. If they're going to take it to the next level, they're already doing a great job of limiting explosives, but the one guy, and you saw him impact the play and force an interception, Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary in the last four games does not have a sack, not a tackle for a loss. We need Rashawn Gary to get back to where he was at the beginning of the season, taking advantage of the lack of attention that is going his way because it's all going Micah Parsons' way.
Yeah, and that's perplexing to those of us, John, and you're not. I am a layman. I'm just sitting here saying he's getting double-teamed. He's getting chipped on about 3% of his pass rushes. In the past, that was up around, you know, 50-60%, because that's the only player that a defense felt they had to account for on that front. But this year with Parsons, yeah, and I'm with you. Early in the season, we saw it. He got off to a good start, had 7.5 sacks, that type of thing. But of late, we haven't seen as much of it. And if somebody said to me, and I don't know if this is true or not, John, you keep track of these things better than I do, but apparently Enoch Barre got more snaps than Rashawn Gary two games ago. So, yeah. So that's telling. I mean, Rashawn's a great athlete, first-round draft choice, but these coaches are going to play who gives them the better chance to win the game. I still think, like you, that he can provide that extra element that can make the pass rush special if he can get back on track and get to the quarterback a few times. And, John, I don't know about you. You're closer to the action than I am. But it looked to me like he was starting to make inroads, starting to be a factor in the pass rush, I thought, last week against the Vikings.
Yeah, and to me, I think Rashawn has been the guy the last few years to be the one to get that initial pressure, to draw the attention to the defense. And now I think he needs to change his pass rush just a little bit, almost the way Lamar Woodley was when he was with James Harrison, almost the way Nick Perry was when he was with Clay Matthews. Not so much I'm going to win with my first move, but where is the quarterback going to go because of where Micah Parsons is rushing, and I can meet him at the intersection of avoiding Micah Parsons, if that makes any sense to you.
Absolutely. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I wonder, I'm sure he's being coached to do that, to be aware, because, he doesn't have to win off the first step. Parsons is going to flush that quarterback one way or the other. That defense is going to roll toward Parsons. Minnesota had him triple teamed on a couple of occasions last week. Triple team. And it's not the first time somebody's triple teamed Micah Parsons. But I think that really you've got to be aware. If you're, you know, Rashawn Gary and any other rusher out there. Now, Parsons is going to flush the quarterback. Where's he going? Because that's where I need to be.
Talking with the voice of your Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrivee, on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. On the other side of the ball, Wayne, talk about rushing the quarterback and getting to the quarterback. The guys that keep Jordan Love upright is the topic of conversation this week. We saw Jordan Morgan start at right guard, Wayne, on Sunday, but then it quickly went to Anthony Belton earlier in the week. The offensive line coach, Luke Buckus, had said they've been working him on the inside. Did they figure something out, Wayne, on that inside? What did you think of Anthony Belton, and can we see him continuing in that role going forward?
Well, you know, I think coaches have a tendency to play the hot hand, or what they perceive to be the hot hand. It'll be interesting. I'm wondering more and more as I hear people talk about this and as I observe it, if it's a run-heavy type of scheme for that game, that you'll see more of Belton. He's just a bigger body, a mauler on the inside, as LaFleur said. And so if you're going to be heavy run, control the clock, that type of thing, yeah, you'll probably see a little more of him. But if it's more of a pass type of game, if you get into that kind of thing where you have to throw the football, maybe you see a little more the other player. And that could be where you're at. That might be what they do going forward. But Any way you look at this, Jordan Morgan's going to get time to play. I just wonder if it'll be different week to week based on what the game plan is.
Yeah, and we've seen them rotate players for seasons, not just for a game, for seasons. They've done this in the past under Matt LaFleur for a very, very long time. So I would not be surprised if that rotation continues or even gets mixed up a little bit more as we go forward. All right, let's break down this game now, Wayne. This Detroit Lion team, we were 1-5 in the division last year. We have an opportunity to start this thing 3-0, but this Lions team is really, really good. How do you see this thing? What do the Packers need to do? What's the number one thing they need to do on Thanksgiving to come away with the dub?
I really think they need to, first off, contain Jahmyr Gibbs. And in the opener, they did a great job with Sonic and Knuckles. They held them in check. They were really not much of a factor in the game. It was just a marvelous exhibition of tackling and solid defensive play. I mean, those two guys combined, had less than 100 yards rushing. So that was huge. They had 20 rushing attempts, 44 yards. That's where you start. But then when it gets into the passing game, what you want to do is bring pressure on Jared Goff and bring it at him through the A-gaps. Take a look and make sure you find out where Micah Parsons is coming from. I think Jeff Hafley will loop him into the A-gap more often than not. Why? Well, because it's been proven that Goff struggles if you move him off his spot, even a little bit. And I've seen this in a couple of their games this year. And in fact, in the opener, where Parsons was a factor, Goff was distracted and didn't have nearly as good a game as we've seen him capable of having. But I think you get pressure up the middle. The Eagles deflected 5 passes at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And Goff's not a short guy. We're not talking about a midget at quarterback here. He's 6'4". But I don't think his arm angle is as high as most quarterbacks, and I think you can get to him that way. But if you just rattle him a little bit, get him off his spot, his accuracy falls by at least 25-30%.
Yeah, one team that got that pressure up the middle, the Minnesota Vikings, against them, and they came away with the victory, upset the Lions in Detroit in that football game. So I agree with you on that one. How about defensively? What do you see on the defensive side? I know they have a lot of guys that are banged up, but one thing about Dan Campbell's teams, it doesn't matter who they throw out there. It could be down to their fourth-string cornerback. These guys play hard, and they impress.
Yeah, they do. They're not getting a great deal up front in pass rush outside of Aiden Hutchinson. Davenport has been out for quite a while now, and I'm not sure if he'll be back for this game. They do get DJ Reed back. He was a big free agent acquisition. I think Terrion Arnold might play this week. We'll see. Rocky Assin has gone in there, unheralded seventh-year pro out of Temple, and he's actually played pretty well for them. You know, the other side, it's interesting. Amik Robertson is a guy they have confidence in. Avante Maddox, former Eagle. They have not gotten as much pressure up front, and consequently their secondary has been exposed a little bit more. Kirby Joseph has been out at safety. That's a big loss. And
yeah, it is.
The other thing with Detroit, and I bring this up speaking of losses, there's a reason why they're not as good as they were last year. Last year was their year. I know they had tons of injuries, et cetera, but I remember one of your teams that had tons of injuries, et cetera, and did win it all. And the Lions were certainly capable of doing that last year. They missed their window of opportunity. It's never easy once you do that. It's never easy, even though you have all these guys back, even though you added these guys who make you better. It's never easy to try to get that window open again. And they're struggling with that. They legitimately are struggling with that. They're not playing as well as they did a year ago overall. Their offensive line, kind of like the Packers, not what it's been the last 5 years, not nearly as effective. And now they've got some injuries in the middle of that line. Glasgow, who's really a backup guard playing center this year, he has a knee injury. Not sure if he'll play this weekend. Chris Mahogany has been out. They've had changes up front. None of it is they're not as good as they were a year ago, even though all the names are there. On any given week, they can be real good, and that's what you worry about.
All right, Wayno, my last one for you here. We were monitoring these games as the Packers game was going on Sunday. Chicago, comes away with that victory against the Steelers after being down. The Lions come all the way back against that Giants team and all the heroics out of Jameis Winston to win that football game. This conference and this division specifically is wacky right now. One or two games could really decide if you're in the playoffs, if you win a division, or if you're sitting at home in January. How do you think this thing plays out for a team like the Bears? How do you think this plays out for the Lions and even on the West side with the Seahawks and the 49ers? How do you see this thing playing out? Are there some teams here that are pretenders, or are they all contenders?
Well, if anybody's pretending, they will be found out in the next 4 or 5 weeks. And I'm talking specifically about the teams in the NFC North. Okay, the best teams in the NFC right now are both in the NFC West. LA and Seattle, to me, they're consistently better than anybody else.
I
would put Philly up there. Philly had a bad quarter against Dallas. I understand they'd come off two just lights out type of defensive performances against the Packers and the Lions, and then gave it up in the fourth quarter at Dallas for some reason. You know, I will hearken back to this, John. A friend of mine, Rick Goslin, NFL Hall of Fame writer, the other day sent me a text. He says, there are no dominant teams in the NFL. That's why you see all these quote-unquote upsets. And I think he's right, and especially in the NFC. No one is head and shoulders above anybody else, but the two best teams at the moment happen to be the Rams and the Seahawks, in my opinion, with the Eagles right behind. But hey, where will they be in 4, 5, 6 weeks? Who knows? But they're not as dominant as those teams that went after it last year.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting race to the finish here, especially on the NFC side. And it all starts Thursday in Detroit for our Thanksgiving Day game. Bueno, can't wait to get on the plane with you. Get out there and call this one.
You bet, John. Looking forward to it. Take care.
That's Wayne Larrivee on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. And Wayne recognizes it. It's a tough place to play. It's going to be a formidable opponent. But he sees ways that the Packers could get in there. Doesn't think it's the Lions' year this year. That was a big one that Wayne said right there.
Quick window, huh?
I don't know if he buys the Lions even making the playoffs this year. I'll tell you what, if the Lions lose this one, they are going to have to really make up ground down the stretch, and they don't have.
He might be right though. But with that Lions loss, who was it? Was it San Francisco that year where they were winning? It was San Francisco. They were.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Winning that game and in full control.
That was 2 years ago. They
lost to Washington last year, yeah.
And they were going for it on all those fourth downs, and they could just not convert one, right? That's the thing.
That might have been the
sword.
Yep.
You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And that one game, they died by the sword. I think if they'd have kicked all the field goals they had opportunities at, they would have been in a better spot or even potentially winning that game in the fourth quarter. They went for it a whole bunch, as Dan Campbell likes to do, and they were not successful in that one. And that could have been that one big window that was open. for them. All right. Speaking of teams that are strong in the NFC, in the AFC, how about the entire NFL? Everybody has power rankings. ESPN has them. Fox Sports has them. But the only power rankings that matter are the power rankings that are right here on our show, on this channel, on 9 to noon, live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.